The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is David X. Cohen, ex-executive producer of Futurama, and you are listening to The Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Brandon, and I am tired.
And this is our E3 report. We're recording this remotely, so if you're a first-time listener, Nerdy Show doesn't normally sound like a big, echoey room, because we normally record in a studio. We're on the road. We're in Los Angeles, and we've just spent the last 3 days, really 4 days, checking out the most extreme week in gaming of the year.
In the best city I've ever been to. That's sarcasm.
Can you just, like, not talk about Los Angeles? Like,
I wish I could not talk about it, Cap.
You always bring it up.
I'm sorry, you always bring it up. I apologize.
So this episode, we're recording it as quickly as we can. So we're not going to do any major edits. It's going to sound a little different. It's going to sound a little boxy. But we want to talk about our E3 experience, and formally, I said we're going to put this episode out on Monday. Fuck it. It's coming out right now, whenever you're listening to this. So for this coming week, if you're listening to this at the moment that we actually normally would put this out, this episode's coming out early, and that won't matter in just a couple weeks' time. That message won't mean a damn thing. But anyway, E3 2015, what a goddamn year.
It's the first time I've been here where almost every company is putting out something amazing. Usually, like, 90% of everything is crap. Every company I can think of is putting out something that's just a very special game.
This is the sixth year we've covered E3. 6 years. And in all our 6 years of covering it, we've never seen press conferences this strong, showings this strong, releases this strong, gameplay this strong. Mm-hmm. It's ludicrous. I think what we maybe could attribute it to most is where we are in the life cycle of the new consoles. Because whenever a console debuts, I guess there's like a period of about 2 years that they just fuck around.
Well, because when the console first comes out, they're still working on previous titles that haven't come out yet for the previous systems.
Yeah.
And now everyone is specifically developing for next gen. So we're seeing this whole new scale to games that we haven't before.
And it's interesting. We actually thought that VR was going to be bigger than it was this year because everybody and their mother is coming out with a virtual reality headset.
My mother did come out with a virtual. She did. It's just a friggin' box of Cheerios with goggles on it, but yeah, she still thinks it's VR.
She's trying to market it.
She is.
So, like, you know, we got the Morpheus from PlayStation. We got the Oculus, which is partnered with Xbox now. And
various other brands.
And a lot of little random ones. But actually, though there was mild VR showings here and there, that wasn't the theme that dominated this year. Every year where there's kind of a theme, whether it's imbued from the corporate overlords, whether it's asymmetrical gameplay or never before seen open world exploration
for the first time ever. In any game.
But this year it was different. It was better. It was not about buzzwords. It was simply about action, and that action was, well, actually, several things, but a dominant thing, working with the gaming community.
Well, yeah, the main buzzword I get, well, not really, the main buzz phrase was, like, we worked with the community. We worked with the developers. We worked with the fans. We got your feedback. We listened. Every company said that we listened to the fans.
And this isn't where, like, other situations, like, where Xbox One had to pare back features that they had because they presented them poorly in the press, and there was misunderstandings about what exactly those features did. This was actually like maybe a cooperative sort of stance on things. So we're seeing a lot more games going into open beta, like on consoles, so people can like evolve the gameplay experience with the fan base. So they don't release a shitty game. Mm-hmm. They release it early under the intention of it being in development, and then they work with it. Something kind of normal for PC games, but now it's becoming a console thing
as
well.
And I think that's a good thing for games. And the other thing I was seeing this year was most of the games are kind of unique. They're not all just clones of each other. Yeah, there's a few here and there, but most of the games are just completely different from each other.
Yeah, there's plenty of sequels, but there's also a lot of... Even sequels have a new spin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good year for gaming, and of course E3 represents games.
Well, and next year when they finally come out.
games that are coming out for sure this year before the holidays, and then games TBD next year, maybe as late as the holidays next year.
I mean, honestly, I'm only going to be playing Fallout 4 for the holidays.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, if you haven't been paying attention to the release date surrounding this particular event, this holiday season...
You're fucked.
We're all fucked. All of us...
Everything is coming out October, November, December.
If you care about video games... Quit your jobs. Well, spend get all the well,
you're gonna
all
get,
the money you
you're
can.
You're gonna get fired. So put in your 2 weeks right before like November.
It's crazy. We have like games we've been waiting years for. Games we didn't know we wanted. It's all coming out, and I honestly don't know what we're gonna do about it. The world will end.
Yes.
So these conferences, they were AAA, and it started with Bethesda. Super impressive, unveiling like more from Fallout 4 in depth. You know, Doom.
Bethesda was not fucking around this year. They're like, look, we understand everything we've done wrong in the past. We understand everything we've done right.
Well, here, aside from the are we done wrong? What do you mean, the bugs?
Oh no! Even just with like Doom games, Doom wasn't always they kind of their
well,
last
Doom wasn't Bethesda, right?
Their last game was Bethesda.
It was?
It was, yeah. The last Doom game was Bethesda. It wasn't that great. This new one is amazing. It's amazing looking. There was no hands-on of that. There was no hands-on for Fallout 4 because we're so close. It would have been nice to try, like, maybe the building aspect of it.
Yeah, but they focused on their new IP, which was a good move, Battlecry, which we played last year and really liked, and it's still enjoyable. And, okay, this is not a buzzword again, but another thing that we're just seeing a ton of, MOBAs. Like, they've been on the rise for years, but this year, we're just seeing tons of them. And
they're pretty fun, though. Everyone I played was fun.
And the format for a MOBA allows for a diverse gameplay style, just so long as it's multiplayer and it's online. But if you're not familiar with the term, it basically pertains to any game that is an online multiplayer, and that is its primary function. Even if it has a narrative element to it, that's the gist of it. It's not an MMO. It's like generally a fighting experience, like Team mm-hmm. Fortress.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of things in that vein. A lot of them starting with the word battle, including Battlecry.
Battleborn,
yeah. And, of course, Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah. And I get all three of them confused, surprisingly, even the one Star Wars.
And then the one that's different from all of them, Gigantic, which looks like the most original, easily.
Oh, Gigantic is my favorite of those.
It's a very animated-styled thing with a really cool anthropomorphic but also somewhat mythological-style character designs, really bright. And I think Xbox and PC is where it's headed, but
I asked them, I think they said it was exclusive for the holidays. Once again, it's one of those things where it's like, if they're saying it's exclusive for the holidays, then you damn well know that it's going to come out for other systems later. Or else they would
Tomb Raider.
Yeah. They would flaunt it
right.
if it was only for that system. They would totally say, yeah. But they're like, no, it's exclusive for the holiday. I'm like, what does
Tomb
that
Raider's
mean?
Coming out on Xbox first, but they're contractually obligated to not say that they are coming out for something else.
That's right. We asked them. I said, is it exclusive? And they said, this holiday it is. That's all we're going to say. I was like, oh, I got you, wink. So it will be coming to other systems, the new Tomb Raider.
And also Bethesda Dishonored 2. Which looks amazing.
Dishonored 2 looks pretty awesome. I'm going to get it regardless.
What we should forward you to, if you're hearing this podcast and haven't seen our E3 coverage, in the past we've done videos. This year we focused on articles specifically. We've got a lot of articles, and if you're listening to this the moment this episode comes out, there's even more to come. We should probably have all of them done by Friday at the very latest. But a lot of material coming out. And lots of in-depth coverage, more in-depth than we've been able to do in prior years. And one of the things we talked about was the Bethesda conference overall. So we'll kind of stop filleting Bethesda at the moment and move on to Xbox. I mean, it was a big day. The first unofficial day of E3 is press conference day. Bethesda did theirs the night before. And on this day we had Xbox, Sony, EA, and Ubisoft. And then the following day, we had Nintendo and a Square Enix one, which they hadn't done one in a while. It was easily the most boring of all of them, but some good stuff anyhow. And I guess we'll take this moment to mention Nintendo as well. Nintendo doesn't care about E3, and that's fine. They have no obligation to care about E3. They are having mini E3s every couple weeks with Nintendo Direct. They're constantly communicating to the fan base and the press on equal terms.
Well, unfortunately, I feel like that's kind of kicked them in the butt, because I feel like they should have promoted more at E3.
Well,
their games that they were displaying were kind of average and mediocre, and everyone I talked to while I was waiting in line for several hours were just like, yeah, they're okay, but nothing like the other companies.
I don't know. Why should a company be beholden to impressing the press?
Because the press are also ones who are going to buy their shit, you know? There are people too, okay? We're press, right?
We are.
I'm going to buy Nintendo shit if it's good.
Yeah.
If they show me that shit like Metroid Federations again, I'm not going to buy it.
You mean Metroid Battle Ball?
No, there was two games. It was Metroid Federations and like Battle Ball something.
There were two things that were branded as Metroid games but are not Metroid games that were announced
this
year.
Yeah, it pissed off a lot of people.
I will admit, Brandon, it is downright insulting that they, like, people are so hard up for a decent Metroid game that they would release something that no one was expecting or cared about and has no reason to. Yeah, that's the thing. But
I was going to say the creator of the best Metroid games, in my opinion, the Prime series, is making his own game.
Yeah.
Which we won't see till next year, ReCore.
Yeah.
So that is something to look forward to.
And ReCore, which was debuted during the Xbox conference, is an Xbox exclusive.
That one is exclusive. I will not be able to play it on my PS4.
It looks like set in a kind of a desert world, and play a female human protagonist who has a robot friend whose soul, I guess, or is a glowing blue core. And if one body is destroyed, you can plug that core into another robot body if you find one.
One that has, you know, obviously different abilities and skills.
Went from like a dog to like a construction ape.
Yeah, and they showed showed several others.
There's a good trailer for that. Xbox conference.
The HoloLens.
Right.
Looked amazing.
We did an article on this.
Yeah. It wasn't on the showroom floor. Didn't get a good look at that.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote an article about it. Check it out. it's the coolest bit of technology I saw there.
We saw a live demo of some augmented reality hardware that we've talked about previously on Nerdy Show, and it was it was super cool. Like we didn't see this like personally. We saw it at the show. So
with everyone else.
Yeah. There's more there. We'll see where that goes. Scanning our respective notes.
We have so many notes. You have no idea.
You know what we didn't see, Brandon? We didn't see Cuphead. I wonder, was that on the show?
That's on my list of things I was gonna look for, but didn't see. It was not there.
Cuphead is an amazing side scroll that we probably mentioned last year because that was where it debuted.
It's been in the works for a while.
It looks like 1930s cartoons. It's amazing.
Perfectly. I don't actually know how they animated it.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. So. I don't know. That's out there. It's going to happen. Battletoads didn't come back.
There was a statue.
There's a beautiful Battletoad statue,
which basically was like, "Fuck you. This is all you get."
But there's a really cool collection of classic Rare games, just to remind you of, you know, everything they made that was awesome before Microsoft bought them and then stripped all their creativity away. But there's a collection of all that awesome stuff. If you haven't played the classic Rare games, like Conker's Bad Fur Day, the original N64 version, not the remastered, which was good but different from the original, and Battletoads and so on. But I really thought we were going to get an original Battletoads game this year, and
you're never gonna get another original Battletoads game.
I think next year's the year. I think it's gonna happen.
You're gonna have to call GameStop and ask them when Battletoads is coming out.
I really should. They are asking for it.
I guess I want to say there's a few things that disappointed me.
Go for it.
There was no mention of anything Half-Life related. Obviously,
they're never.
I don't care. Every year,
Valve doesn't give a shit, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm just every year I check. Dark Cloud 3. It was announced, but there was no presence of it.
Right.
Dark Cloud 3. Dark Cloud series is one of my favorite series, so I was hoping. Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
Admittedly, they've been working really hard on Witcher and they deserve a break.
Yeah, that's from CD Projekt Red, creators of Witcher. They were promoting a game called Cyberpunk for the past 2 years. It was announced. There's a website that you can go to, and there were flyers for it at every year we've seen them show Witcher, but no one's seen anything from the game.
I think they're focusing on Witcher right now.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big success.
Yeah, they rightly so. They shouldn't divide their attentions, but it's coming. It's going to happen.
Telltale. Nothing this year.
Yeah, Telltale actually wasn't showing anything, but they did announce during E3 an amazing side project. It's a Walking Dead miniseries in the style of their amazing Walking Dead games, focusing on Michonne. And specifically focusing on her story during a really specific window of time in a certain time jump that happens in the Walking Dead comics. Previously, it was ambiguous whether or not the Telltale games were set in the comic universe or or the television show universe or a hybrid of the two, but now it's clear it is 100% the comic universe, and we're going to I mean, it's going to go in territory completely unexplored by well, by the comics themselves, but also a kind of ambience based on the context clues that the television series certainly has never gotten to. So that's really exciting.
But they did have an office full of sandwiches, though.
Yeah, we did eat some sandwiches.
Well, the last thing I want to say before you can kick my ass and move on,
okay,
is there was absolutely no mention of Beyond Good and Evil 2, a game that has supposedly been in development and not canceled even longer than The Last Guardian.
Well, The Last Guardian was officially announced as being a thing. It's coming in 2016, so that's something, right?
Yes, we got to watch some extended play of it.
Yeah,
that,
we did.
That you will not be able to see unless you were there.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. Sony did this great presentation on the show where they had three consecutive theaters that seated about like 30 people, and well, normally there's huge lines for this sort of thing. This was they had a constant flow of basically you were then you went from one theater to one theater to one theater. You just got in a big line and got cycled through
Sony,
all day.
Sony wins the award for most efficient lines this year. It was one line, and it looked like a couple hundred people, but after 20 minutes, you were in the theater, and then the next theater, and then the next theater. You didn't have to wait 2 hours to see one thing.
And it was great. We saw extended versions of
Horizon.
Horizon Zero Earth.
Or Zero Dawn.
Zero Dawn.
The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
And an amazing scene you haven't seen yet from Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4. Now, Uncharted 4, which if you've seen the video they played during the press conference, it's the greatest action sequence
in any movie.
Ever. And
it's
the
best movie this
year. And here's the thing. Now, it cuts at a really integral point. And you might think, okay, well, the conclusion is just coming up. No, that's maybe about 50% in.
Yeah,
it gets even crazier.
There's, yeah, if you want to say.
I don't necessarily want to go into specifics, but like there's lots of car jumping, there's motorcycles
being dragged through the mud.
Yeah,
for like a mile.
Shooting a car crash that you pull yourself out of.
You're upside down in a car on top of you. It's on fire, but there's guys outside with guns. It's really great.
It is actually the greatest action sequence in any media that I have ever seen. So,
and that's just one scene of the game.
Yeah.
I guess we can talk about the best of, the things you gave awards to.
Sure. We have Best in Show awards. We had four printed up this year. We should have at least had five, turns out.
Or six.
Or six. We gave them two.
Okay, first one went to, and that's going to fuck up the mic, what you just did. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Made by Guerrilla, who makes Killzone.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We're like, Guerrilla, isn't that the Killzone people? I think it's the Killzone people. Like, this studio, as far as we know, has only produced Killzone, with the exception of their first game, which is a Vietnam game,
Shell Shock 67.
Expressing the true horrors of Vietnam.
On PS1
we've only
or
just
something.
Read about it. We're actually PS2.
Yeah.
But like, so they've only done Killzone this whole time, and now they're out the gate with something completely different from Killzone.
And they must have been working on this since
who knows
since
long.
Before the last Killzone game.
It's they called it a post-apocalyptic game. It's where humanity has basically destroyed itself, reduced itself to caveman level. The cities have become forests with like the shells of skyscrapers only being like ruins, and humanity's a bit past cave person in some ways because they can build off of what was left
their
behind.
Tribes and hunter-gatherers. They use some technology.
But the real weird part is that all the animals that we saw were
mechanical,
yeah. They're eating grass, but turning it into weird biofuel in tanks on their backs that you shoot off with your bow and arrow, and then fight dinosaur-like monsters that are also robots.
But the demo, the extended demo they showed us, it was great, and they featured basically you could shoot anything off of these giant mammoth mechanical beasts. They shot off a gun and used it against it. I mean, it's a brilliant thing that you should see. You should go watch the trailer.
You'll see only slightly less than what we saw.
Ours was alive.
Yeah.
Gameplay, so they showed some slightly different things.
Yeah, really, really cool. We also saw an extended Last Guardian, some more mood aspects to it.
They showed how he came into contact, I think, with the Guardian or Condor or whatever they're calling him.
I think they're calling it the Condor. And I'm not sure that was the inciting incident that we saw, but... But like the kid interact. Basically, I mean, if you're not familiar with Last Guardian, it was announced years ago, and it's from the studio that did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. It's about a young kid hanging out with a big old luck dragon.
That's the story. Just a young kid hanging out with a dragon.
There's more there, I'm sure, but like it's a lot of like interaction AI. Puzzle solving in a really
and kind of a little bit of teaching him what way. To do. Teaching
yeah,
the
like you'll
what
be like,
to do.
Be a ba, ah, and oh. like, and then like you'll be like, you'll get the creature's attention, and then you'll jump up and down like while pointing to
and
a thing,
and he'll like, what does that
be
mean?
Like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, you want me to jump over there? Okay, got it. It's interesting. It's gonna be a really cool puzzle game, and I don't know what more it is going to be, but it's probably gonna make you cry. That's probably what happened.
I almost cried for the demo. I mean, so it was like really, it was a really touching thing, and I never used that word. So it's gonna be weird when I get to the end and find out that it's the main bad guy that you set free somehow and have to kill it. So anyway, second award went to
Mad Max.
Let's say Mad Max. Yeah. It did. It went to Mad Max.
We just have several of them. Yeah. So yeah, Mad Max. We saw this thing in pre-alpha 2 years ago, and it was the most complete alpha.
It looked like a finished game.
Yeah. So now that it is a finished game, wow.
Yeah, it's they offered us two different demos, you know, the driving aspect or like a combat aspect, which arguably you could do either, but we were like, screw it, we're doing cars.
Yeah.
And we posted something online about it.
Yeah, Brandon narrated his entire journey through the wasteland, so you should definitely check out his article. We'll have links to everything that we're talking about, of course, on this episode's page. And then Drawn to Death. Was another game where they got an award. An indie...
Now you played that, and I only saw it, and I didn't understand what I was looking at. It was all hand-drawn. But...
Yes, man, this game is crazy. There's no release date set. No one knows when it's going to come out, but Sony liked it so much that they've sort of taken this small studio under their wing to release it via PlayStation. And it is a MOBA. It is it's built for arena-style combat inspired by games like Quake and everything. And funnily enough, it actually... it's kind of like being inside the notebook of a kid in middle school who was really into Quake.
And who has some mental issues, yeah.
Yeah, maybe
that
so.
That he's working through.
The entire game is done from the perspective of... It's a 3D game, but it's from the perspective of doodles inside a notebook. If you look up at the sky, it's a curved fold of, like, notes from school
and you can
and
read
stuff.
Them.
Yeah, if you looked up at the sky, you could read the sky. And you yourself are like everything's textured with ballpoint pen, like red and blue and black ballpoint pen. And you play a bunch of crazy characters, like a cyborg that explodes when he dies, a sexy cowboy she-devil. There's a shark girl coming.
I saw some guy with a head that split open. I don't know
teddy
what
bear
that
head,
was.
Like a split open teddy bear
oh,
head.
Oh, was that? Okay.
Yeah. And it's got crazy weapons, like a bazooka that shoots confetti called America Fuck Yeah. like there's messages like when you get killed, something like you dead fuck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's random messages when you die, which some of them are hilarious. It's like one said, my wife left me. That's not your fault, but fuck you anyway. That's what it said when like I was watching some guy play and that popped up after he died. And he's like, what? And I'm just like, this is awesome.
It's so good. And it looks just like a lot of fun. And what's interesting is though it's designed specifically for online play, there's narrative elements inside the world. Like if you look around, there's so much detail. Oh, did you see when you go in the sewers? Did you see that part?
No,
Ryan?
I didn't.
You can fall through a portal in this fountain in the center of the... We played a sort of cityscape arena with a big Cthulhu monster and a bunch of car crashes and all kinds of stuff. There's a fountain of a man sitting on a toilet. If you can go, you can go into the sewer from there, and then there's a huge like Goatsy style gaping hole with like called the manhole, and you can crawl out of the sewer rectum.
Didn't see that. And that's why it got an award.
Yeah,
that
it was amazing. What else? What was I talking about? Oh yeah. So like the narrative aspects. Like there's parts of it that'll be in a different art style, and that will imply that someone else was
doodling
in that notebook. Like there's a pink school bus, like pink ballpoint pen with like a clearly different art style, like hearts and flowers, and I didn't see the note myself, but I was told there was like a note from a girl on it. So it was like so in this brooding metalheads like notebook, some girl came over
death and destruction
and scribbled in like, hey, like I had fun last night or whatever. I mean if
well, I don't know, like,
a crazy middle schooler out of
hey,
kids these
hey,
days
the child's yours.
Jesus.
Okay, so the fourth award we gave to something we already talked about, which was Uncharted 4.
Yes, Uncharted 4. It I mean, the best action sequence I've ever seen in any media ever.
Yeah, so we
it got an award.
Yeah, we couldn't not give an award.
However, there is a game that if we hadn't played it on the last day would have gotten an award if we had five of them.
Oh, I mean, if I had to pick the number one, my favorite thing at E3 that I got hands-on with was For Honor. So, and that's all I'm saying about that.
No, what?
I'm kidding.
Okay, so, you already wrote an article on For Honor.
I wrote something. It should be out soon.
No, there was an article that was already published about For Honor.
This is the update about,
yeah, exactly,
about my gameplay experience. Now,
this is a game that impressed you so much during the Ubisoft show.
That I waited in line 2 hours.
Well, and also that you wrote about it. You didn't write about anything else from the Ubisoft show.
Man, fuck it.
And it was the presenter came out, this like director or something, like huge beard, cane, like...
You like battle, eh?
Yeah, he was amazing. Really got our attention. And it's a game where knights fight, like samurai fight Vikings.
And they can fight each other, like a knight could fight another team of knights.
And it is also a MOBA.
Yes. As far as I know, they didn't say anything to me about a solo or single player aspect.
But so it's likely just cool. Like, because those historical persons and events would never intersect,
mm-hmm.
Or at least it would be highly unlikely.
And I don't want to give too much away about it, because there is an article that's going to be posted, but it was the most fun thing that I played at E3. So I would have given that shit 2 awards.
Most fun game of E3 2015, yeah. For Honor.
And if I had to name a most intense, heart-pounding game, it was Rainbow Six Siege.
Now, I know you played this. We haven't actually talked about it at all.
Well, like I said, I wrote my experience
there's another article, which
is coming. But it's a very intense, and it harkens back to the old days of original Rainbow Six games. You know, one shot, one kill. That's their big thing this year.
Yeah.
And it is truly that. I mean, I saw a flash of light, and I was dead. And it was amazing. It doesn't sound amazing, but when you read my experience, you'll understand why that's amazing.
Okay, so like we've been saying, supplemental articles, links on this episode's page for all the stuff that we're brushing over, because this was a big year, guys. This was a huge, huge year.
There was a lot of stuff to cover with us. It was hard.
Yeah, man. Shout out to The Old Republic, Knights of the Fallen Empire. It's really weird. I published an article about this as well, but it's an expansion that sort of self-deprecatingly says a return to the BioWare style of role-playing. It's basically a BioWare Star Wars role-playing game built into the previously existing MMO.
Which is weird, because I don't understand how that works, considering the way that you fight in that game.
It's kind of like a campaign you select, I guess.
I guess, I don't know.
Anyway, we got more information on the site, but even though it is self-deprecating, it shows a lot of promise, let's say. Unravel? Remember Unravel, Brandon? At the EA presentation?
That actually is something that almost made me cry. And I haven't cried in like 10 years. I don't know what...
You're just opening up as a person.
I think I'm going through something. No, it looked beautiful. It looked amazing. And I was searching on, for a demo, which they didn't have.
Yeah. It's a game where you play Yarny, who is a weird little yarn devil man who strings along some yarn after him, and you travel through these just gorgeously rendered nature scenarios and kind of like solve puzzles.
And your yarn drags the whole way and gets caught on things, but you need to use your yarn to solve puzzles. But the more of it you use, the more that, you will run out.
Yeah. Graphically, it looks amazing. It looks like a ton of fun. So I guess, more information forthcoming. We don't fucking have it. Mirror's Edge, that finally happened.
I mean, I knew Mirror's Edge was coming, and I thought I was a little disappointed because I thought they'd have a little bit more to show.
Yeah.
Granted, there was probably a theater with it, but I thought there'd be more of a hands-on, like it's almost done kind of thing, but not really.
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront was a huge feature this year, and I mean, as of State of the Empire, Star Wars Speculation Podcast, where we look for news in Alderaan places, movieshow.com/Star Wars. if you're a Star Wars fan, I got to mention it.
Had the longest line. I
played it. There were longer lines. Halo 5, for example.
Oh, we won't talk about that.
a purgatory line you get in at the beginning of the day,
and that's
out
the only
the
thing you'll see.
Yeah. So the Battlefront. It was Battlefront. It's exactly what it looks like. Though it did act. There were some articles that started coming in from other sources that were saying, like, it had some graphical issues. I did notice that like its render distance was a little fucked.
Well, I would chalk that up to the game not being completely finalized.
It's pretty far along.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
And also I played on Tatooine, which I didn't think it was. I thought I was actually going to be on Jakku because the rocks were a little bit redder. They're similar looking planets, obviously. Jakku from Episode 7. But yeah, I was playing on Tatooine, which is surprising. But it was fun. It was good. I mean, like, and it also was a MOBA. So
is it something you would get? Is it like if it came out tomorrow, you know, would you get it?
I would really love to play it. I would really love to try it out. It's not my kind of game. Like it, especially I would like a story, but the experience of having, I guess I'll talk more about it now since I'm not doing an article on it intentionally. I just don't think there's much more to say. But the ability to like, you know, upgrade yourself to the point that you can like drop in, drop out as like major characters, you know, like Boba Fett, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, and have climactic battles as like all these rebel troops and imperial troops swarm around you. It's cool. Like it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's Battlefront, so I'm looking forward to the next narrative driven Star Wars game. I don't necessarily know when that's gonna be. We published an article prior to E3 actually, which I'll mention here, about a Star Wars game coming out for mobile platforms, which is actually being written by Daniel Erickson, who was one of the founders, the initial lead writer of The Old Republic. And he's doing what is allegedly a deep RPG experience in the BioWare style, set after the events of Return of the Jedi in the destabilized Empire, where you play like bounty hunters and cartels. Canon. And it's canonical, yeah. And but it's on a mobile device, so I don't. That's not my thing either. But everything, you had me up until that part. So we'll see what happens. But we'll be keeping a special eye on that one. Let's say Battlefront's going to do just fine, but that one, that's intriguing.
Battlefront's going to make a ton of money, regardless of whether or not it's a good game.
Yeah,
people are like, Star Wars, holy shit! It doesn't matter at that point.
So we didn't get hands on with No Man's Sky, but
they weren't there. I was looking.
There. I think there were some closed door demos.
Were there? Well, shit. Yeah. I didn't get to do that.
No, we didn't get to do that. So, but that looks awesome.
I was also looking for Secret of Mana stuff since the 25th anniversary is coming up. Obviously, no. But I was hoping.
You can dream. You can dream. And speaking of dreams, the creators of Little Big Planet, Media Molecule, unveiled some incomprehensible game. Called,
yeah, we don't really know how it works.
Called Dreams, where it's sort of an art game where you can create visual or narrative experiences
and travel through other people's experiences, yeah, seamlessly,
swap
supposedly.
Parts out of it to create experiences, things, yeah, that you go into and out of.
It's not really a game, so to speak.
It's an experience.
It's an experience. Yeah.
But the aspects of like actually creating it, the visuals looked very strange.
It looks incredible.
And,
I don't know how
it
works.
And they implied that you could use the motion controls on the PlayStation remote to effectively like sculpt clay and create like these objects. It seems impossible, but they did say it was really hard to grasp on first sight. They just wanted to let people know they were working on it.
Right. We were staring at it going, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know.
How does it work? How do you do
it? At all. I have no idea.
But it looks amazing. So.
Yeah. And of course, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Really, really, really.
The remake. That is still, you know, probably 5 or 6 years off by the time PS5 comes out.
So we published an article on that as well, but worth mentioning.
There are many things we're not going to talk about here because there's already articles of them, just so you know.
Yeah.
Rock Band, Guitar Hero, those are all articles that are coming out.
Yeah, got a lot to say on Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Ghostbusters Puzzle Fighter.
surprising Ghostbusters mobile game that, as a game, I don't know if that's significant, but as a example of pulling from a very specific set of continuity for Ghostbusters, very interesting.
Rise of the Tomb Raider, we wrote something about.
Yeah.
So check that out. Very, very good game, I believe.
I hope we're not going to get like stuck into a list circle exactly here, but like, what else do we have impressions on?
Well, XCOM 2.
Yes.
I never played the first one because I'm an idiot, and the second one looks amazing. I'm not writing anything about it, so I'm just going to quickly give the rundown.
Please do.
Yeah, it takes place after the first game where, you know, the aliens win and they're run by the corporation now. I forget the name of the corporation. I have it right in front of me. Boop. Corporation. Advent. That's right. Okay. Anyway, so the whole world's run by these aliens, and everyone loves them except for you, because you know better. And the gameplay is kind of like Fallout 1 and 2 meets a Square Enix Front Mission game. So it's kind of over-the-top strategy turn-based, where everything is destructible, by the way. But when you attack enemies, you know, it zooms to over-the-shoulder seamlessly between your attacks. And it also, the cutscenes happen during battles, and that's seamless. The whole battle is seamless, and it was a really fun experience to watch, and I actually want to buy the game now because of it.
Even though you haven't played the first one.
I know, and I feel like now I have to go back. I owe it to them to play the first one and know what the hell's going on. But it's a really beautiful game, and it looks really fun.
Deus Ex? Should we talk about Deus Ex?
Yeah, sure. We that was the last thing we saw.
Yeah, sequel to Deus Ex Human Evolution. It's called Mankind Divided. And Brandon's first question was, what the fuck? How could this exist
because
of the ending of the first game?
When the first game ended, you had three choices to make and all completely fucked over the world or yourself.
They changed the status quo of
And everything. This takes place 2 years after, and we were like, well, how does the game continue after those events? Yeah. And we talked to someone who was there.
We talked to Mary, who is the head of... the executive narrative director, mm-hmm. I believe, is her title. And so she's all about the story. And she had a very good explanation for us.
Well, maybe you can explain it better, but she essentially said that the only person who knows what happened there was you. And the Illuminati's keeping it under the table and trying to figure it out and, like, hushing everything. And nobody knows what happened.
The ultimate changes of the world at that point were just following a very substantial global crisis, mm-hmm. that you had a part in as part of the narrative. So then when whatever the game ultimately ended on, the note it finally ended on, she basically said, well, that's true, and that thing definitely happened, but the only person who knows about it is you, the player. So it's a tongue-in-cheek way to continue the story, but it's worthwhile because the sequel, though... From a narrative aspect, it didn't need to happen. It hardly feels unnecessary because it's so fun to return to that world, and they've added so much because it's a next-gen Deus Ex game, because there's so many new abilities.
Yeah. It's still the same as the first, where you have several different ways to do things. You know, it's focused on, you know, either action, stealth, and, you know, the social aspect. You can play the entire game without killing anyone and just talking your way through shit. Or you can just run guns a-blazing and murdering everyone. And everything you do, even just killing a few enemies in a level, can change the entire story from that point on.
Yeah.
So it's a game. It has brand new augmentations, new battery system. It's going to be a really fun time. And I'm going to buy the shit out of it because take my money.
Square was showing a lot of interesting stuff this year. What's
Final Fantasy World?
Yeah?
Yeah, I was a little confused at first, and I don't know if it's going to be something good, but for some reason, I really love the art style on that.
You,
I don't know why.
You normally get really fussy about things that are too cute or weird.
I don't know if it's too cute.
And yet, here's this game with this, like, Hallmark card chibi versions of Final Fantasy characters, and you're all about it. I don't understand.
Obviously, I've been away from home too long, and I'm getting sentimental, as you've seen on this show. But no, Final Fantasy World looked really cool. I didn't get a chance to check it out, but if there's any demos or videos online, I'm going to be doing that.
What about Star Ocean? How do you feel about the new Star Ocean? Star Ocean 5, Integrity and Faithlessness.
Oh, it's going to suck.
Yeah?
No, don't get me wrong. I love Star Ocean games, but it's a bunch of Japanime bullshit, and you can tell right away from the title.
Well, but what about what the developer said at the press conference? He said... This is not the actual quote, but effectively that he wanted to prove that JRPGs are more than movies pretending to be games.
Okay, well then he has to fucking prove it to me.
Well, and that's what they want to do. Okay, they had a mission statement about changing up the JRPG formula.
He's
with
brave
this game.
To say that, by the way, because there's tons of people buy those games for the JRPG formula, and they're the ones who ruined the fucking genre. Okay, because then they're like, oh, let's just keep making this bullshit. So yes, I will get the game because I love all Star Ocean games, and I'm also an idiot. But if they can prove to me that it's more than just a JRPG, that it's something special that has a good story and good characters that aren't generic, yes, I will play the shit out of it. So we'll see.
Okay.
They owe me a lot. There hasn't been a good one, in my opinion, since the PlayStation one.
I checked out a game that I plan to be writing something about, though at this moment I don't actually know what I'm going to say, but I was just very impressed. Published by Square Enix, and it's actually already out right now. It's called Life is Strange, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like...
Three chapters are out, right?
Three chapters are out. It's a chapter-based downloadable game, out of five chapters, and it's kind of like Telltale's narrative-style stuff with Walking Dead meets a little bit of Alan Wake. Meets a film I made in high school.
It sounds confusing.
It's about a girl who discovers that she has the ability to manipulate the butterfly effect, so she can reverse and at some points accelerate time to alter decisions because she witnesses something traumatic at school, and then finds herself going about half an hour back in time, more like 15 minutes, to and trying to figure out how she could possibly stop that from happening.
Could she go back like years, like to like the day after she was born?
Well, I only played a little bit of it. Basically, I saw this game and I started playing it and was immediately captivated by it. It's got a lot of like there's a dream elements to the narrative storytelling. There's lots of depth and really great dialogue, and it feels like it's set in the main character's in high school. And it feels really genuine, not like a normal like pop culture portrayal of high school. There's more depth to the characters, and I was speaking with the one of the directors of the game, who assured me that even instances where it might seem to start like they're playing on archetypes for people in a high school setting, you'll discover that they all have layers, they all have depth. Someone who you think is an asshole might actually have like more going on to that backstory. And I started playing this game, and I looked at it, and I was like, I feel it. This game is a rabbit hole, and if I get... I'm,
and then you're like, I have to stop playing
now. I was, because like, there was an awful lot I could demo. I think I might... At the very least, the entire first chapter, if not all the consecutive chapters, I was like, what am I going to do about this? I want to keep playing so badly. It's called Life is Strange. It's available now. I highly recommend it.
We kind of dropped the ball on it, because we should have played it by now.
I didn't fucking know about it.
I've been busy, and I never picked it up.
I had no idea. It went completely under my radar, but I'm interested now. And very enthused. So if I don't write anything about it, I'm seal of approval. I just don't know what direction I'm going to take yet. Let's see. I should mention that there's a bonus perk available to all of our Patreon subscribers. I don't know if I'm going to release the interview I did for Life is Strange, but for Rock Band, we were getting some quotes for our forthcoming article. And interviewed one of the guys there, and then released that as a Patreon perk. So we're a listener-supported podcast network, well, a nerd entertainment network, obviously. And you can go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and subscribe and help us continue to exist, because we run entirely on your generous donations. But in turn, you get a lot of cool stuff, including a ton of perks, bonus takes out. Bonus content,
boner takes.
What? Yeah, lots of deleted content and flubs, and not shit like this that I would normally edit out, but shit that I would edit out that's actually like funny or interesting. Anyway, we published this interview that it was loud. We were outside, not a good quality to distribute for a mainstream podcast, but really cool and really fun. So it's up there on Patreon. You should check it out. $5 or more gets you access to all that stuff. End of plug. But
I mean, we could talk for so much longer about everything at E3, but we're not going to, because we're very tired.
No, we've covered a lot of bases here. Are we done?
That butt sniffing.
Oh, something? You're right. Indiecade. I got to talk about Indiecade. Yeah. So there, as
with butt sniffing. That's all I said.
there's a game called Butt Sniffin' Pugs, which has gorgeously rendered pixel art. And this game is very early on. It has effectively one level that doesn't really have a finite end to it. But it's not only a pretty game, it has an extremely unconventional controller, which I'm not sure how they're going to replicate. Though they said you could play it on a keyboard, but I like playing it this way. It's very interactive. They have what's a softball-style ball that's actually more of like a tennis ball fabric. I guess that's a thing. I've never seen one before. Okay, let me back up. They have a wooden box. It's about as big as maybe a couple shoe boxes next to each other. And in it is partially submerged is this giant tennis ball.
It's a giant track ball.
Which is literally a giant track ball that you have to move with two hands. On either side of it are two buttons. And then at the back of the track ball, like forward facing to you, is a plush pug butt with a little curled up tail and two little legs, which is also a button. And
I don't even know what that does.
Okay. It's a two-player game. It's a two-player cooperative game. There's a black pug and a blonde pug, and you're in a park, and you can each pug has two different actions. There's like bark and I think scratch or something, and then the other one has poop and pee. And when you get and you use the trackball to move around, when you move around next to the other pug, you hit the pug butt and you sniff that dog's butt and swap powers.
Are you kidding me? Like both, you just swap your powers.
Yeah, wow. like all if I had the bark one, then all of a sudden I had the poop.
Maybe
one.
That's why dogs sniff each other's butts to get their powers.
So you got to explore the environment of the park, which is just one screen. But there's like things like you scare off the pigeons and they shit all over this other thing, or you can you can pull a stick out of a bush, and then if you drop the stick on the ground, no, if you poop on the ground and drop the stick in the poop, it'll stick straight up. There's a little old lady who will swat you if you get close to her sandwich on her picnic blanket, but if one pug distracts her, the other pug can get the sandwich.
Wow. Okay. That sounds like a really odd game, but I kind of want to try it.
It was awesome.
I'm sad that I missed it, but you got to try it.
So. Yeah. There was also a game called Home Improvisation, which is interesting. It's actually on whatever the Steam beta thing is right now. I forget what their name
Steam
for it.
Steam Greenlight?
Is it Greenlight? Like, is there a thing that's like Greenlight but for games that aren't done yet? Anyway, it's out there. It's out there in the world, and we'll link to it. It's you go to in different rooms of a house, and you're given a box of sort of parody IKEA furniture. It all has weird names. Like, there's one called...
I mean, IKEA furniture is kind of a parody, but
there was,
yeah.
There's one called Duhast. and it dumps the box out in the room, and then you and up to four other players can use an Xbox controller to pick up pieces, manipulate them in space, spin them all around, and everything is built on a plug and hole system. So you can, like, if you get a chair, you'll have the back, you'll have the base... Then you'll have four legs.
Do you have to correctly make the item, or just like whatever the fuck you want?
The game is free flow. It is what you
whatever
make
you
of
can
it.
Make.
Right. So if you want, you can do a couple different things with it. I mean, ultimately you can do whatever you want with it as a sort of a tablet. But you get no instructions. Putting together this chair,
which is just like an IKEA.
Right. Well, I mean, they give you instructions. They're just kind of not too
There's
great.
Just a man with a hard hat on with a big X over him, and you're like, what does that mean?
Basically, you you could interpret it as a puzzle to assemble it correctly without instructions, or you could use it as an opportunity to create some very intriguing abstract art. And as soon as you complete one piece of furniture, and by complete I mean plug all the pieces together in any configuration, you're presented with another box of materials or a couple boxes to choose from. And at the end, I was playing with three people, and we were in a basement somewhere.
Well, were you all in the same game?
All in the same game, because up to four players simultaneously.
Ooh.
And we assembled some kind of decorative neon lamp with a iron shelving system and something like a sink.
I don't know, but it sounds like something I would actually buy.
It was a lot of fun. It was really cool. It's a different kind of game, and like most games at IndieCade, it had, you know, a lot going on. It was special and unique.
I feel like the next time you buy an IKEA shelf, though, you're going to look at it differently. Like, you know what? I could make a shelf, but what can I actually make?
Well, I was
with
thinking
this?
About, you know, like I would love to create sort of automatic art by like assembling random objects, like the great Dadaists and so on. But me personally, I'd probably want to make it more complicated than it needed to be. And I don't know much about welding or have the materials for it. So in this game, it's all way simple. One, you don't have to spend money on the expensive equipment to assemble. And two, it's all plugs and holes. So you can just plug it together. You don't have to worry about, you know, welding things together or...
Although you should be missing pieces at the end, honestly. You should.
It's a bit more rudimentary than that. There's no screws, you see. You're always missing screws.
That's true. Yeah.
Man, we
that, I mean, that's all.
Covered,
that's all I want to talk about. We've done a lot. Like I said, we've done a bunch more, but it's all on the website.
Man.
So
good job, Brandon. Normally we've the past couple of years we've done a podcast a day for E3, and we decided to do all in one this time.
I mean, there's a lot of articles. We don't need to talk about it.
And we're just under an hour. Yeah. So this is great. So if you have any questions about things we saw or want us to talk about more or want to get our impressions on stuff, there's an E3 thread that's been ongoing. We've been talking with people during the whole show. And sorry, Max, we tried to find that Transformers game. We didn't see it anywhere.
Someone swears they saw it, but it wasn't on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
It wasn't in an office. I didn't see it.
Not that I saw. But anyway, so if you're just listening to this as it comes out, there's still more articles on the way. If not, head to nerdyshow.com/E3 2015. Where not only is it an easy way to find the link to all the links on this episode's page, but also the full index of all of our articles from E3 this year, covering everything we saw and did. And shout out to the new Adventure Time game, which I covered extensively in an article. And if you're an Adventure Time fan, you should definitely check it out. All these games, this is an important announcement, pay attention here. All these games that are available for pre-order, you can do so via Amazon. If you go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon, anything you pre-order, any cart you check out through this link, whatever you put in there, stuff you'd buy anyway, it will fund Nerdy Show. We're Amazon affiliates, and Brandon and I have already bought the Pip-Boy editions of Fallout 4.
If you're going to buy stuff anyway,
yeah,
this will also help fund us. It doesn't cost you anything.
It's great. And if you want to send us a message of like, hey guys, I just bought all this awesome stuff, and like, that's awesome. Send us an email at info@nerdyshow.com and we'll give you a shout out on this episode's page because you bought some cool stuff and you did it the right way through our Amazon links. So any like we're listener supported, any way you can help would be much appreciated. Brandon and I are exhausted.
We still have more work to do.
Still have more work to do, and I'm going to be at HeroesCon this weekend doing some panels. For more information on that, see our previous episode, which is our Summertime Fun Community Update. And we got more on the way. Next week, we're going to be at Dice Tower in Orlando, and then a couple weeks later, San Diego Comic-Con. Followed by Camp Fangamer in Tucson, Arizona. So busy as all fuck summer.
You're gonna need a lot of NOS drinks, man.
Oh,
a lot of NOS.
No, I will not be drinking NOS energy drinks. That is a poison.
NOS a day keeps the doctor there.
Yeah,
next to you.
Keeps the doctor well at hand.
Well at hand.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week for hypothetically a more normal Nerdy Show episode.
Maybe, perhaps.
In fact, hopefully I'm not mistaken about this, I believe it's going to be our long-awaited Doctor Who episode, a fan-requested microsode that we turned into a full-scale extravaganza where Whovians are up against not-quite-so-Whovians. So keep an eye out for that, and I think that covers our bases.
I've got nothing more.
Right. Well, I didn't think ahead to look for a track, but I will put a track right here. For track information, please go to this episode's page. We'll see you soon. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show on all of your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, We've got it covered.